We looked at, we added site triangles, Astro site triangles, and made sure that we don't have any issues with them, and as, if necessary, we made those adjustments to landscaping and different things to ensure that the site triangles will be clear so we don't create any traffic issues with respect to that. There's some utilities, we've added a lot of the existing utilities now on each of the right-of-ways. We've added, you know, details about the right-of-way width, the cartway width, to ensure that you have a better understanding of, again, traffic flow and how we're impacting that area of the community.
Some of the issues that we're going to come back with and talk about at next month's meeting, God willing, would be certain things as such as?
Like I said, I think we've addressed everything that's in the report.
But we need to give it to Roger to really have a good hard look.
Right, I mean, it's only fair, we have, I believe you all mostly received in your email the updated plan, but you didn't have a chance to review it, you didn't have a chance to, you know, develop the questions. I will say that any questions you have on the original site plan haven't really changed. We've added to and supplemented the information and design, but we haven't really changed anything other than the driveway. So any of the questions that you had based on our original, you know, site plan would still be relevant. And we can certainly address that tonight as part of the preliminary site plan discussion. But I think, yeah, some of the information that we've included, you certainly need time to digest that, and that's why we'll...
I don't have any other questions, Mr. Days. I'm just going to jump into Pete Weiss or Roger, do you want to go first?
I just want to chime in about the Northeast redevelopment plan. That lends some of the confusion of tonight's presentation and what happened. Back in the original redevelopment plan was developed in 2001, I believe, from Shore to Palma. Then it was revisited in 2007. The rendition that we needed to compare it to was done, this board was tasked in 2018 and was approved and passed as an ordinance in 2019. Some of those elements weren't in the original plan, and I have to admit, and to defend the applicant, they're not easy to find online. They're not easy to find. So the going back that we had back and forth today, yesterday, and even Monday, they're on the right track. And again, a lot of the checklist items are for major projects, you know, like a Walmart or an Acme, a shopping center. This is not that. The intent of the revisions of the redevelopment plan back in 2018, 2019 is this project. Again, the fee simple subdivision is driving some of these variances, like lot width, lot area. Otherwise, they'd be fully compliant. Again, as Tom indicated, the lot depth, which was added in the redevelopment plan in 2019, was added to 74 feet. They can't comply with that no matter what. You can stretch that with silly putty, it's just not going to work. So they need a variance for that. And again, a lot of the site plan items that I requested in my report, they're already done, but they have to officially have to have it in front of the board. And like the sewer and water, there is sewer and water there. We all know it's there, but they have to prove that it's there. They have to prove that they can handle it, the city can handle it. I have no doubt that that's going to happen. Ventnor Avenue at this location is not a county road, but again, the density, they meet the density by, you know, they're one-third of the permitted density. They're going to have, you know, 10 more units there, or 12 more units, rather. So that's not going to happen. Parking, you're meeting all the parking demand, all the parking requirements. Parking is not an issue here. Actually, it's a drastic improvement from what's there now. Flood, the flood compliance, you know, putting these homes up with parking below is becoming the norm now, and it's going to become a requirement from the state, I think, within the next few years. So they're beating this, they're ahead of the curve on this. With all the landscaping items, the site triangles, the other site enhancements that I mentioned in here and all the other checklist items, they will be fully compliant. And any other waivers, a lot of the checklist items, they're waivable because of the nature of this application. But I just wanted to make it clear that some of the confusion was how to get this Northeast redevelopment plan and the last revision incorporated in this plan, and they're there. They're right there.
We want to take this opportunity to thank Roger, too, because as he said, we literally could not find the 2018-2019 one. I had the book from 2001 and I had the amendment from 2007, but it's not part of your quote, municipal land use section. It's under, Roger pointed us, to a new ordinance section. So when you go through your municipal land use, you can't find the new one. So the first draft that we did to turn into you guys was based on 2007, and then Roger gets it back, and we're now juggling the change, and we still couldn't find it. So Roger was good enough to say, look, I couldn't find it originally either, but here it is, and got it down to us so we could really have the opportunity to review it and tie it in to his zoning schedule to match up to our zoning schedule. So we truly appreciate the help and camaraderie in doing that.
I also want to point out, by going to the latest version of the redevelopment plan, I think you eliminated about 10 or 12 variances.
Yeah.
And again, it just shows the intent of, they're trying to follow the intent and scope of the redevelopment plan. We just had to tweak things out, and I think they're well on the way to getting an approved plan in front of the board.
Roger, can I ask you, did you say they could have expanded this to a bigger project?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you said that.
Yes.
10 or 12 units.
Really?
The density requirement is 100 dwelling units per acre. They're presenting and proposing 33.
Good job, Roger.
Wow. That's why I just told my clients, keep quiet and don't get any bad thoughts in your head about doing anything else. Poor you, son. Peter, why don't you get up and walk through a little bit about your design, what you did, how you did it. And Peter, you know that you have Lorraine in your crowd, so
I know.
Please keep your voice up.
Clean it, her.
Karaoke night.
Yeah, I'm not going to sing. So, yeah, this is four attached units. They're all basically the same. The ground floor in each unit has an entry, some storage, garage, and in combination with the parking space out front of the garage, you get two parking spaces per unit. First floor is all living space. Second floor, you have two bedrooms, one bath, and third floor is a master suite. So, you know, each unit has three bedrooms, two baths. The units are about 2,150 square feet each, so that's kind of average size. The units each have decks on each level in the front, which I'm calling Austin Avenue. And that provides some outdoor space and also creates some relief and depth to the facade of the building. The exterior will be, at the moment, horizontal siding on the upper levels and board and batten at the ground level. And as mentioned, I just want to point out that, you know, the first floor will be a full 3 foot above what the city currently requires for flood prevention purposes.
We get the opportunity, by having the outside units a little larger, we had the opportunity to get some landscaping in, and it's also our plan to have street trees around the entire property.
Yes.
Materials that we're going to use, you talked about the board and batten and those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's clearly an aesthetic enhancement over what's sitting there and existing.
Yeah, the building is there, has been there a while. It's deteriorated. Yes.
I don't have any other questions of Peter. Once again, open up to the board if they have any questions of Peter.
I have a question, Peter. On the Ventnor Avenue side, I noticed that you have a couple pop-outs, if you will.
Right.
On that side, you have the windows that are escalating up following the stairs. Is there any way or anything to keep that from being such a flat exterior? We like in the city to try and get a little on our street, on our cartways, really major thoroughfares, to have some aesthetic so the walls aren't flat. So is there anything that you might recommend or to the board, or that you have a, if you have additional setback here on this lot, because it's the biggest lot, it's
right.
A corner lot.
So, yeah, I mean, we can't really cut into the building, so, I mean, we could certainly make the...
You can't go into the building, you have to go outside.
Projections deeper, I mean, these only look like about a foot or a little more than a foot. I mean, they could certainly be deeper and potentially wider. So, yeah, they could be made.
Would a deck help on that, on that side?
Sorry?
Would a deck help on that side?
Deck.
We're wrapping the deck around?
Well, if you want to give up some landscaping. I mean, I suppose. We didn't really talk about that. I mean, there was some conversation, I guess, at the very, very beginning about doing a wraparound deck on the corner. We never pursued that, but I don't know if that's something you guys want to think about.
So that one side has the bump outs.
Peter, what are those two vertical lines underneath the A towards the back of the building? Is that a bump out?
With the three windows at the top?
So you're looking at, yeah.
The two vertical lines.
There's two pop-outs there.
Are there?
One with the three windows and then one with the at the top.
Right.
And then the other one is the single window at the top.
I mean, doesn't that create enough variation on that side already?
Don't know.
So this would be...
You have a projection about a foot, is that right?
Yeah.
But that's a pretty flat wall, Peter.
Well, I mean, maybe a change of substrate, something different siding on that, maybe.
Would it work? So if you did a small wrap on a deck, how would that impact the landscaping?
Well, I mean, eventually, if you get the deck at the first floor, you can do something stuff underneath.
Yeah.
It's not a real light deck. It's a rental, but not at all. So that might be a kind of a compromise. I mean, technically, when you have a bunch of people over to the front of it, because it's that good, it's going to be there.
Well, part of the upper...
I think you're out of it.
Yeah.
So you got a bump out here.
Yeah, there's a bump out.
You got a bump out there. So you got two bump outs on
Atlantic Avenue side. On Venner Avenue side.
Not on this side. Not on the calendar.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to see that anyway.
Right?
Is there
setbacks? Plan all of that.
Yeah.
If they're in it, they break that up.
It's a big wall.
Permitted projection.
63.
So apparently there's no, because it's a one-way street, there's no site triangle issue for that corner.
I mean...
Well, the decks aren't a must. I was just questioning on how to aesthetically make that more pleasing for the streetscape.
Okay.
And Peter mentioned different substrates for the siding, or a different way of handling it, some way of making this building more aesthetically pleasing to the streetscape is what is a question I have. If you can do that,
yeah, I'm sure.
No. Why don't we add that as a condition? So when we come back to talk about final site plan, that we can give you a couple alternatives by either a different material that we're using with the bump out, as Peter Taco said, or by using a wraparound deck on the corners, as you said, so you guys can pick one to see which way you like it as an alternative solution.
If that would be suitable, if assuming that everything's approved this evening, you're coming back.
Ford's okay with that? Lorraine?
I have a different issue.
Oh.
Finish that issue.
Let me keep talking.
Gals are still going to come home.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I blindsided you with that, so I guess I have to live with what you got.
Go ahead, Lorraine. You're up.
Okay. So the building, building that's currently there, you said there's three apartments.
And nine rooms.
Nine rooms. Is it occupied right now?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
Completely occupied? Because it doesn't really look it.
It doesn't matter.
We don't know who's in there right now.
It looks pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's probably not safe, I'm sure, for the moment.
Okay, well, so basically what you're doing with this plan, and it looks very nice, I know we need development there, But now you're having 12 bedrooms where you only had 9. Granted, there is parking.
We had nine rooms and 3 apartments. So we have more than.
So how many bedrooms?
It had a rooming house.
So I thought that we had 6 bedrooms in the apartments, 2 bedrooms in each apartment, and 9 rooms. So we probably had 15 bedrooms.
Okay. But nobody really knows what the occupancy is because it's old.
Well, I did the certificate of nonconformity for Malcolm Schaefer about 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that Mr. and Mrs. Olive were here 15 years ago,
sure,
moaning and groaning about the parking at that point in time. And there were other neighbors moaning and groaning about the parking, but it was a certificate of nonconformity. So that wasn't an issue that could be raised.
Right.
Mr. Schaefer died. Sold to the gentleman who was, I think, selling it to us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, my concern is the impact that it does have on the neighborhood, because we've had other development there, and parking always comes up as an issue because there's never enough parking. And I just have a problem if I feel that we're adding to problems in the neighborhood, even though we are providing parking. And I think that that's a lot to put on that particular area. It was said that you can't change the lot, but you can change a structure that's going on the lot. And when I'm looking at homes that are 20 feet wide,
the back is,
it's not a very big home. I mean, it's pretty narrow. 20 feet?
And we grew 17.
You know, I just think that it may be too much of a project for that space. That's my feeling.
Conditional use.
Yeah. Well, that's why we thought that if we went bigger, you'd be into a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house with potential elevators. But by doing it this way, we kept them at 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, where the people now park on the streets.
I understand.
We had the ability to take them off the street, which now frees up on-street parking for the other neighbors.
No, it's a better plan, but it might not be the best plan.
If you put one unit on the lot, it's a conditional use.
Right, I can't get away from a use variance.
There's no way to get around the use variance. One unit will give you a use variance.
Right.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, that garage-looking building in the back of town, is that included in this, or is that an additional?
I didn't have my file on doing that. We think that it was, I don't know if that was converted from a 3rd apartment to a 4th apartment, where that's one of the 3 apartments that was converted when I came in for the certificate of nonconformity in the 2000 area. So I can't tell you whether it was technically, all I can tell you is that the approval was 3 apartments and 9 rooms. How it's physically set up right now, I don't know.
Frank, I want to get back to what Lorraine was referring to. I looked at this like it was way too much, but after listening to what Roger said, it's a third of what it could be. Am I understanding that?
Yes.
Okay. So what could it be if it's only a third? It could be 3 times, what it is. I mean, an apartment building?
It could be an apartment building. Now, the question then becomes, how do I, we wanted to make sure that we were building something where we could satisfy on-site parking on-site. So I didn't want to come before the board and say, okay, I'm putting in 6 units, which I'm permitted to do from a density point of view, but I can only give you 1 parking space per unit in doing that. To me, while I've met the concept of density, that I was now trading, which I thought was a bigger problem for the community, which was parking. So by doing this, I was able to say, okay, Tom had it as 9 parking spaces that were not being provided, where we're now providing all 8 parking spaces on site. So I thought the better trade-off was making sure that I build a project where I would not have to come before the board and ask for any type of a parking variance, that the variances that we were asking for were things that were technically out of my control in the sense of, I didn't have the lot depth. The lot area to me was de minimis. Having a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house was a reasonable house for those particular locations. I looked at the project that we had done on Baton Rouge, where we did the 8 units, 2, 2, 2, and 2, and they were 3-bedroom, 3-bath you know, 1,400, 1,500 square foot house with the parking underneath, and not to pat myself on the back of John Barnhart, who's not here, it came out like a little oasis in the middle of that block, and the neighbor who bitched and moaned at us came back before your board using our house as his house to knock his place down and do it. It was the same one. So the guy who held us up for 3 months put his own in there, and it stirred a little development down there. So our, not to repeat myself, our issue was, could we provide on-site parking and not, and have something that would be better for the neighborhood than what's existing at the property now? And forget all the other stuff, you know, structurally and beautification, aesthetics and flood compliant and all that stuff that goes with it. But the real issue was, how do we handle parking? Can we build something, make it a nice quality, sellable, aesthetically pleasing, and parking on site? That was the thrust.
All right, well, thank you.
When you say that you could have built something bigger, you're talking taller?
Yes.
Okay, so, but you wouldn't be able to have parking?
Yeah.
How?
Well, it depends on how you lay it out. I mean, if I went, for instance, if you take down the two units on the side and you just do these two units, but you now go out 50 feet in the air, then I could use the side, I could put a parking underneath the two units that I just built, and I could put eight parking spaces on the other side.
But you'd never get a
suit. Well, I could probably get pretty close to meeting the parking demand on the half of the vacant lot. You know, I would now have a 40-foot wide or 50-foot wide building going up 50 feet. You know, so how many stackable units could you get in? You don't have to always have a three-bedroom. Now you build an apartment building that's two bedrooms, two baths, as an apartment building, and put the parking on the side. I now don't need, they may be townhouses. I may need 1.6 or whatever the RSIS says is, you know, parking requirement. So there was modifications that you could have done. But once again, it came also down to condominium or fee simple. And Blake and Nate both said, we think that fee simple single family is better than having four guys say, can you paint your door red, or can't paint your door yellow, and can you put a new shade in, or can't you put a new shade in? These are fee simple. You know, so do what you want to do. It's your house.
So when you were looking at this project to buy it, you looked at the size of the lot. Did you look at two and then three and then came up with four? Was there, this wasn't the first plan.
No, they looked at apartment buildings, single family detached dwellings, three units attached, four units attached, parking. So it was a multitude of things.
And this is what you think is...
We thought that this was the best alternative in doing it.
I'm going to interrupt. Just so the board's aware, this particular application in the infancy stages came for a workshop meeting before the board, before some of the our engineers and representatives of the board. And so this is, they, based on that, they proceeded again with a plan.
Understood, but that, you know, we're still finding some flaws with it.
And it's refining it. The other thing I'll mention is that Lou's restaurant site over at Nashville Avenue, I believe, was approved for a six-story building under the redevelopment zone back maybe 10 or 15 years ago. It was never built, but they had parking underneath, and they had about six stories. They were well above the density limits that this particular project was going with.
Wow.
That was under the redevelopment zone.
And also across the street.
And then there was two buildings across the street which were torn down, and then there was a building approved for that site as well.
One was 36.
Right. Forgot about that.
Yeah. So that's the history of that area and the approvals that have gone on under the redevelopment zone.
No, I understand. I think that area is better suited for three units, not the four. I would have no problem with three. I just think it's a lot for right there. You can agree, we can agree to disagree.
Well, if we remember back where Lou's is, what Jay just said, it was 28 units on one side.
And 36 on the other.
36. So if we look at it that way.
Where are you talking?
Where Nashville is.
It was part of the redevelopment.
Yeah, both sides of the street. I forgot all about that.
It was on...
Mr. Al Sensor came in with the plan.
Yeah. Mark Al Sensor came in. He had, it was approved for 36 and 28 on the south side of Ventnor Avenue. Yep. It was 28, and on Lewis it was 36. And there, it was, you know, the parking was, you know, underneath, and you couldn't get that many cars.
I think it was one spot per unit.
Well, it doesn't mean it was a good plan, though.
Yeah, well, but if we look at that one compared to this is nothing.
But I don't think you can compare. I think you need to compare. You have to look at what you have today, see the merit, see how it impacts the neighborhood, and that's what we have to judge it on.
Well, we have to respect Lorraine because she always brings up 100% a question that we should consider. Every time she brings something up, not to pat you on the back, but she does bring up valid points. You know, yes, we're trying to make something really nice for the area and give up this to get that. But she's been on this board a long time and she has some wise questions.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I've never disputed that.
No, I know. I see the respect for her right away.
To me, you have to consider the neighborhood. On paper, yeah, it looks great. How does it impact the people that have lived there for 20 and 30 and 40 years? And to me, that's very important. We live in a small community, and these are our neighbors, and we owe them that respect.
But the other question is, how does the existing property impact them?
Well, that's one way or the other, that's going to go. We all know that.
When everybody says, always says, one way or the other, that's going to go. I got the certificate of nonconformity 15 years ago. It hasn't gone.
Well, because the real estate market is a lot different than it was the past 15 years.
Well, okay.
Well, we know it's going now, so let's get going.
Okay, we're done. So we're at this point in time, unless the board has any additional questions, Tom Days or...
Yeah, I have a question about, this is a preliminary situation.
We're asking for a conditional use variance, and we're asking for preliminary site coming back to you and major subdivision approval, and coming back to you for final site. And also, based upon Mr. Taco's comments and Mr. Cook's comments, a revised architectural plan to show you either the bump outs with some type of stripings and or additional materials, or a wraparound porch, and how that would look.
So,
the preliminary site plan.
In the rear of the buildings, that's all concrete, right?
Mr. Weiss, where are you?
No, this is. These are all concrete patios.
Gotcha.
So I think. Yeah. So it's all concrete in the back.
No.
No. Is there what? So I mean, we're not talking about landscaping right now, right? Okay. So that's all green. All right. Okay. Because it says covered. Oh, covered patio. Okay. Thank you.
Are you complete, Mr. Callahan?
We are.
Are you in agreement with Mr. McLaren's report?
Mr. Day, we're in agreement with that report, correct?
Yes.
All right. At this time, I'm going to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Mr. Olive, please come forward. Be sworn.
Just name and address, please.
John Olive, 4919 Ventnor Avenue. My voice is raspy. If you don't understand me, just please say so.
And do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
You know, it's kind of a new experience for me to be in front of this board and just seeing your actions. You're very qualified, and you have difficult, very difficult decisions to make. I appreciate that. And I thank you for being board members, and also thank you for allowing me to speak before you. I'm on the other corner of 4925 Ventnor Avenue. I'm in 4919 Ventnor Avenue. I've been there all my life. Northeast Development. Years ago, some of you remember Jessica Vallow on the road and the boardwalk. We were founders of the redevelopment population of just like 10 or 12 of us because of the overall density in that northeast section, and that came about because of these oversized homes that were built in the 5, 10, 20 that were converted to multi-family homes. So the density increased, and the quality of living decreased along with it. Now, eventually, the vendor declared that area from Jackson to Little Rock to be the northeast section of Ventnor area of redevelopment. And there was a very well built there, I believe, and the various video drivers left up too. And to be honest with you, the last couple of years, I'm disappointed. The Twin House lot, you allowed 8 units to be built there, and they're beautiful units. However, as I complained before, I realized that also, it was the parking issue. And the presentation by Mr. Cavanaugh was that they were allowed for, I believe, 3 parking spaces per unit, because the current concept was under each house was a garage that you could have the first car forward, then a second car, and then a third car. Sounds good on paper. Thank you. Thank you for your comments, Lorraine. Thank you. But it doesn't work. It did not work. It does not work. My street had a parking issue before. What they were served by was taking a turn glass at the lot and had commercial parking. People could buy parking spaces. And you had an area that increased the value of property. Too late now. I'll just go over something that could have been done rather than increase the density. And yes, there are beautiful houses. But everything now eventually becomes old. So in total, I don't know if this is all Ventnor Blitz, but you've done 8 units or now you've done, well, going around me, I don't know if you get it for the first thing, I just want to call it, I don't know. But your remarks, I think there were technical issues. It's probably not around, but you're doing a better job, I suppose. The quality of life will absolutely deteriorate. And I don't really think this is good for the world. I don't think this is good for the world. For example, I could say, well, you have someone around the corner. You're possibly providing 4 units there. So now you've got Marina with 4, the other corner with 4, and across the street. I mean, if this is what you want, so be it. And unfortunately, although we approve this, the parking issue, and by the way, how small or large are those units? 4 units or a lot. I heard 20 feet wide. Well, that's very long. I mean, you know, the quality of life says it's just not the number of units or the number of parking spaces. I mean, what kind of people are those that live over there? And although it would be so few simple, although it would be sold as an investment property, is that going to happen? 3 bedrooms in each. I mean, I don't know if this is what you want. I got to be honest with you. From my own side of this, I have an audience. It was a difficult decision to make, not just for me, but what's going on in Ventnor. If you want an idea today, it's been a while. Now, I guess it's legal. Anyway, maybe I could have 2 units. I don't know. You have to work within the laws or ignorant of the laws. There are kind of people who are doing. I'm sure you don't have the best interest for Ventnor. and I oppose this structure.
John,
thank you.
John, can I ask you just a quick question?
Sure.
But a real short answer. When you were doing the redevelopment with your friend in that area, what was your vision? You don't have to elaborate, just a small little...
That's a good question.
Well, the only thing, if you recall where Lou's was, referring back to what we were talking about, if you take both sides of the street, that was like 50, 60 units when, you know, the gentleman that owned all the land and went up selling it all. That's a lot of units compared to what is actually there now. If you just add the number that is being proposed and developed already, it's a fraction of what was going to be. So it's just another way of looking at it. Not so much that Ventnor's becoming a little bit more sophisticated with this type of properties, but it is a lot less than what could have been. And that's why I try to listen to everybody that comes up here and then maybe think of both sides, not just one side.
Yeah, valid point. I agree. However, you're lowering that density towards Jackson Avenue.
Well, that's where the density is.
Excuse me?
That's where the density is. The density is all through that whole area.
And
the densities in that area exceed or are equal to the density of this particular site which they're proposing. In fact, in some cases, the existing properties increase the density is in excess of this property. It would exist in that neighborhood now, in that region. That was brought out in the redevelopment plan in the whole study.
Yeah, just excuse me, Laurier Avenue, there are small row houses, townhouses, similar, I'm thinking, to what is being developed right now, asking to be developed. And the parking has always been an issue, always.
There is no parking.
Excuse me?
There is basically no parking.
Correct,
so,
yes.
So now... my question is when somebody begins to provide parking, why is that an issue?
Well, you're going to end up with 24, oh, it's 3 bit, and these are small. Here again,
there are properties in the city right now that have been built brand new within the last 5 years with units less than 20 feet wide.
Wow.
They're on the beach block, they're in various sections, and there's 50, there's over 100 of them that have actually been people are occupying and living and paying a really good buck for them. So I just apprise you of what the market is doing, what's been built, and what's been sold, and what's been approved.
Listen, I got to be honest with you. I have to leave it in your hands. You certainly know better than I do, all the technical issues. There is a quality of life, and in 5 or 10 years, these brand new units that are very, very small will become what? I leave it in your hands. I thank you for listening to me.
John, would you rather have the brick row homes that have no parking and are antiquated and are not compliant, or would you rather have new? About some of them are about the same size or a little bit bigger, with now they have green area, all that stuff down there, it's all 100% coverage for the most part.
Why can't you have 2 duplexes or three townhouses, or I mean lessen the density, improve the parking, improve, you know what, I think the bottom issue here is really quality of life. Yeah, that's really the issue. You can make 1,000 units, and your technical mathematics will probably work out. But do you want to live in a closet? I don't think so. So, and in time, what is old right now and looks superior right now, in 5 or 10 years, will not be new anymore. So, long range, look, maybe you thank God you people have to make a tough decision. I don't want to be all issues because I'm complaining. Some are for it, some are against it. I understand that. It's a tough situation. I would leave you with this one thought, quality of life. I thank you for listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Anyone else who, I'm going to take the person in the back first. And this is all, I'll take you.
Sure, name and address, please.
Stephen LaGreca, 2 South Marion Avenue, Ventnor.
South Marion. Can you spell your last name, please?
LaGreca.
You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Please.
Okay, all due respect to Mr. Olive. Quality of life. I live directly across the street from the property in question. The house that is there has been an absolute blight on the neighborhood. The house has seen drug dealers. It has seen prostitutes. It has seen numerous alcoholics that have come over to my house panhandling. And you were asking if those 9 rooms are filled? Yeah, I think they are, and then some. It's been an absolute mess. I would gladly trade, and I'm sure the majority of my neighbors would agree, I'd gladly trade 4 units for what's there now. Parking hasn't been that bad. We live 2 blocks from the beach in the summer. Guess what? Parking's going to be tough. I don't think 4 units is going to swing it either way. I'd much rather see 4 units than a 10-unit condo building. But I applaud Mr. Callahan and his team. I think this is a great idea, and I think it'll improve the quality of life in the neighborhood tremendously. The 8 units that were built on Marion Avenue, it's a pleasure to see those families walk up and down the street to the beach. It's really nice. And to go a little further with what Mr. Wiesen said, I've been looking out my window at a junkyard. To see those cars get fixed up and made nice would be an absolute pleasure. That's all.
Thank you, sir. This is all.
Hi, Helen Olive, 4919 Ventnor Avenue.
Helen, okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
I thank you for listening. I appreciate the questions you guys asked because of the same questions we had. The parking and the density are the main issues. I applaud these people for wanting to take down the eyesore that's on the property they bought. That is wonderful. However, what you're replacing it with concerns me because if it's going to look like what you put across from the Lewes lot, which I think this reminds me of a similar building, I think that's ugly, and I don't think it fits on my street. And that's all I want to say. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mrs. Olive. Is there anyone in the public who else? Yes, sir.
Paul D'Amico, 2 South Marion Avenue.
Mr. D'Amico, do you swear from the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
I think this is a great project compared to what's there. I think it's a great use, and I look forward to having new neighbors that, you know, are not going to be a problem, not going to have the police come constantly, have the fire department, the ambulance. I'm looking forward to having nice new neighbors. I think this would be a great project, and I'm all in favor of it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else in the public who wishes to speak? I don't see any more hands. Any of your voice requests? So the public portion of this particular application is now closed. Mr. Callahan, the floor is yours.
I'll be brief. I mean, we think it's a win-win for Ventnor. As the gentleman on Marion Avenue said, we're getting rid of an undesirable property with undesirable people, and we're building four new units. I would disagree a little bit with Mr. Olive that they're small. These are 2,150 square foot homes. In my mind, that's not a small home. There are three bedrooms, there are two baths, there's parking, there's landscaping, they're flood compliant. And we think that the conditional use can be met because the use is permitted. I can't meet the condition of a 74-foot lot. I'm 1% over, but overall, and the 1% over is because I put imaginary lines down to create fee simple rather than condominium. So once again, we think that overall, it's a wonderful project for Ventnor. It fits into what the Northeast Inlet Development goals were. That this is a kind of a project in that particular neighborhood that the Northeast Development wanted in that neighborhood. And it, once again, it gets rid of an older, dilapidated property, puts in four fee simples, as the Marion Avenue people indicated. The properties that were sold on Baton Rouge are sold to families. It's nice to see husbands, wives, and children walking up and down to the beach, coming home, spending money in the town during the summer, going to restaurants, going to the dry cleaners, going to the movie theater now. This is what Ventnor is goals were as part of the Northeast Inlet Redevelopment Plan of 2018 and 2019, and those goals are now coming to fruition. So we ask for your approval tonight for the conditional use variance and the preliminary site plan, major subdivision. We'll come back before you. We'll get the plans back into Roger for his review. Carmela can then give us a new date, and we'll come back before you to finalize everything. We thank you.
Okay. Members of the board, do you have any other further questions of the applicant or our professionals?
I just want to point out to the board that typically in this type of application, the deciding factor, the driving factor on density is not the density, it's parking. They meet the parking. If they went full-blown density and had, you know, 12 units there, they wouldn't meet the parking. They need a parking variance, and to me, that's more detrimental than the conditional use variance. So I just want to point out that they're putting four units there because it fits. They're not putting eight units there because it doesn't. Eight units won't fit. It won't work. So I just want to point out an observation that to help the board formulate why they're picking four.
Okay. Leo, you're up as far as formulating an affirmative resolution for the board to vote on.
Brian, with the subdivision, do we want to call that preliminary also to keep it, or just do you want the...
Yeah, we'll call it preliminary because there probably are some checklist items within
together.
That major subdivision that Roger had called out. So when we submit the revised plans back to Roger, we would be asking then for final site plan, final subdivision approval at that point in time.
I think that makes sense.
Yes.
It kind of keeps everything together.
Yep.
Okay, so... it's a conditional use application since they don't meet certain of the conditions, which I'll roll through, which I'll go through. Arguably, they can possibly be considered bulk variances, but I think the way that the redevelopment plan's written, it's a conditional use variance to allow these four single family in one, you know, attached development with subdivisions. So in any event, someone needs to make an application. It's for preliminary subdivision approval to create the four lots, preliminary site plan approval for the proposed development, and along with that is the conditional variance approval for this multifamily development, which will ultimately be fee simple, and the deviations that are requested are set forth in Roger's report, but I'll run through them. The lot area on lot 3.01, they're 1,540 square feet. And the requirement is, I believe, 2,200 square feet?
Yes.
2,400. On lot 3.02 and 3.03, which are the two interior lots, they're at 1,127.5 square feet, where 2,200 square feet is permitted. And then on the other end unit, 3.04, they're at 1,430 square feet, where 2,200 square feet's permitted. The lot width on the two interior lots, they're at 20.5 feet, where 28 feet is required. On lot 3.04, they're at 26 feet, where 28 feet is required. And the lot depth on all four lots, they're 55 feet, where 74 feet is required. And then for building coverage on the two interior lots, they're 1% over, they're at 81%, where 80% is the permitted maximum. Again, they're going to come back for the final approval, assuming they're approved here tonight for the subdivision and the site plan. They'll address all Roger's comments and many of the checklist items for subdivision and site plans. Also, I think as to Jay's comment on that Ventnor Avenue streetscape, they'll propose some options as to some architectural features when you come back, Brian?
Yes.
Okay. And they'll comply with any other conditions in Mr. McLaren's report when they come back for final, and that's the motion someone needs to make.
So we'll have a motion and a second, please.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
And we'll have roll call vote.
Jay Kirk?
I'm going to vote in favor of the project. It's very evident that the property that exists there now is a problem property. It's also obsolete. Does not serve the quality of life in Ventnor very well, nor it has the people that I don't believe that live there. I haven't talked to them, so I really don't know. But the area there is one of the most dense areas of the city. We know that the densities of that area may exceed the site, in certain portions of it, may exceed what this project is allowing. This project could be a bigger project. They're not. But they are looking at working within the redevelopment zone, which is trying to manage density, but as well as manage the redevelopment and the beautification of the city and making the city a better quality place to live. It is beginning to do that. The property here will definitely enhance the quality of life within the city and within that neighborhood. It replaces a property which is basically a coal and eyesore, for lack of a better word. It's also consuming city services as well, which the normal properties don't consume. In regard to zoning, they're addressing the parking, which is a key element. They're addressing the setbacks. They've set up the subdivision and such with larger and smaller lots based on corners and interiors, which the board has always advocated. This also attracts sight lines, but as well as enhances the movement of traffic within it and the ability to knock a few variances over, or not incorporate them, pardon me. In addition to that, they have chosen to do a fee simple development, which the city, I think as a board, we've kind of embraced over the period of years. It eliminates the problems of condominium life and condominium ownership, as well as maintaining condominiums, and eliminates problems within our city and our building department as well that they often cause. So the net effect of this whole thing is that for Ventnor, financially, operational-wise, beautification-wise, our general makeup and well-being of the community all fit into our master plan, to the design of what was supposed to be there, and which is the future of Ventnor. Not everything is going to be this dense, but what it replaces is far better than what is there. So with that, I vote in favor, and I wish them the best of luck on the project, and that's it.
Vermin Zabi Hutch.
I also vote yes on the project. I consider the D variance justified and as stated, because it's fee simple, generated a whole bunch of other variances that otherwise, if it wasn't fee simple, wouldn't have been present. The project itself will be an improvement to the neighborhood. It will fit in with many of the newer changes that have been occurring in that area, and I think it will additionally be a catalyst for eliminating homes with no parking and that are in flood damaged conditions. So therefore, this is a very positive trend for the area, and I think the density is appropriate.
Lorraine Salata.
Well, I don't ever believe that we should give approvals for something because it will replace something that is less desirable or, in this case, really deplorable. I don't think that's a justification for giving an approval. And I just don't think that this is the right thing for this lot. I know I have a lot of disagreement here regarding that, but that's my gut feel. I think that a better plan could be had. I would be totally agreeable to a smaller group, maybe three as opposed to four. I just don't think that adds quality to this particular neighborhood. So for that, I vote no.
Dan Smith III.
I'm going to vote in favor of the development. I think that it is a, if we were looking back at the Northeast Redevelopment Plan, this is a model that far exceeds whatever that had proposed, and I think that this will be another catalyst on a corner that will dramatically improve that neighborhood, and the quality of life will increase because of this will be single family people that are probably not going to be year-round residents, are going to bring their families here to vacation. I think it's a there's an economic component to our master plan, which it fully fulfills, along with making things compliant. I think it's a great design, and I think it fits the property well, and I'm going to vote in favor.
Mike Wiesen.
I want to thank the neighbors for coming out. Whether we agree with them or disagree with them, in particular Mr. Oliver, he's come many, many times when we did the zoning board, not so much on the planning board, but he voiced his opinion. Whether we agree or not, we know that he actually loves Ventnor, and he wouldn't take the time to come from the board if he didn't, whether we agree or disagree. Let that go aside. The project is necessary to eliminate that property. I agree with Lorraine. I think it should have been three instead of four, but economics is another thing. You're getting parking where you have no parking. You're getting rid of an undesirable building. You're getting rid of people that occupy that building that make a living standing in front of Wawa begging year round. And that's one of the reasons I don't go to Wawa, because of the begging and the going on. So to eliminate that property, to eliminate the people that live in there, to get what they're proposing, I'm very, very much in favor of it.
Peter Tocco.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. I think that the project speaks to the vision of that Northeast Redevelopment Plan. It removes the blight of that property on the corner, and I think that it will, when it's built, be a great asset to that community.
Mayor Gaskell.
I will also vote in favor of it. The dwelling that's there now needed to be removed 30 years ago. I can attest to that from my last job. I believe this is an improvement for the neighborhood and it's positive for the neighborhood.
We're complete.
Okay. We have a 7 vote or a 5 vote?
We did 7.
Seven. We are complete. You are approved.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mattis, do we need to re-notice and re-advertise if we come back next month?
I don't think we can announcement that, I don't think we can make an announcement, but I think, I'm not sure the statute requires you to come back for final subdivision and site plan. Think about that.
So why don't we hold that in advance and you'll get back to them?
Yeah, I mean, we can look at that, but.
The other one that we did this did not. Right.
To the extent your, does your notice now call for finals?
It did. So, I mean, I'm just asking, I mean, if we have to do it, we have to do it. If I thought I had a date for next month, we could make the announcement tonight
right.
So the people don't have to come back.
Do we have it, necessarily have a date?
I have Wednesday, November 10th. I can put them on for Monday the 22nd.
If you want to choose one of those dates, we can. I can make the announcement, and then...
Roger, is the 10th too tight for you, or... Yeah. So Monday, November 10th?
Wednesday, November
10th. Wednesday, November 10th.
Excuse me. Wednesday, November 10th, so...
Just, Peter, any problems with you?
Any problems over here?
No. We greatly appreciate November 10th, then.
So for anyone here, that the application will continue for final... final major subdivision approval and final major site plan approval Wednesday, November 10th, 2021, 6:30 p.m. This room, the applicant won't be required to republish or renotice, although I believe off the top of my head without double checking, the statute does not require notice for final
I agree with you, but
subdivision
I double check.
Site plan approval. So we'll take a look at that as well, but that's the announcement for that.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
To everyone who is here tonight, thank you for coming, and thank you for your comments.
And I think we should take note of who's here tonight when we vote on finals,
so
we can have
although
everyone's pretty much here.
We have almost
got a
full board, but
let's
take can we have a listing of who's here? Mm-hmm. And give that to Rod, give that to
should we hold on to these or
yes.
Want to change?
And bring them you're kind of submit.
You want them to hold on to plans?
The plans will be revised, but you might want to hold them so you can
hold on to your packets. There'll be there will be some new information coming out and revised.
Oh, we
hold on to your packets.
Compare to me.
Yes. Yes. Mr. Urbina, are you here to make any comments, or are you here? Okay. Now, the next item on the for us on the board is we have. Do you want to go over the ordinance? We've already approved it and signed, so we have nothing to go over that.
It'll be coming back to us next week.
Right. Just so you know, members, we did it, an ordinance package. We signed it last meeting. That will be going to the first reading tomorrow. Could you take it outside, please?
They're adopting that tomorrow, okay?
Yes.
No, first reading.
First reading of the ordinance will be tomorrow. And after that, that will be brought back to the board for a compliance review. And then we review it and send our opinion to the board for second reading.
For a consistency review.
Consistency review.
I missed the beginning of what you said. What ordinance is it?
It's the land use ordinance revisions that we started last November. We were an inch away from getting it approved, and then some other items came up. And
we discussed them at last meeting.
Yes, right? They're all discussed.
That's not the ordinance on the bulkhead. Right.
No, that's done.
That's done.
That's done and approved.
It's already done. This was a second package that had to do with, like, seawalls, deck heights on the boardwalk, and so on down the line. That will then we're going to go to first reading tomorrow. And Roger did a super job in getting that prepared in time to get it to the various people with a holiday and everything else so we can get it on the agenda and get it done.
So we are keeping up with a lot of our ordinance stuff. We're gonna continue. Roger's getting a load, he gets a load, and I keep on him. He keeps bringing the stuff out. So we're very fortunate there. The next thing is that of course is that our subcommittee on the R7 has did their maps. It expanded. So we're looking at a lot more of the city now than we did. We're looking at a lot more of the R5, R4, R3, including the R7, because not everything appears to be in the right spots. So we're going to have to get a little more involved in this than we anticipated. The next phase is going to be is getting in and taking the work that Tim and Roman, who else was with you, Roman?
Mike.
I just wanted to comment
make some comments here, Roman.
That initially, when we, as a subcommittee, we were assigned to look at just residential area 7. And looking at residential 7, I observed that park surrounds it next to it more than any other area, so I decided let's look at 4-2. After looking at 4 and 7, our committee kind of said, could this go beyond? And that's why you have analysis that looks at 2, 3, and 6, in addition to just 4 and 7. So this is for your pleasure to look at and just see a lot of useful information. And Tim Koop did an excellent job producing this report. So here's the head. And as Jay said, this is just the beginning. All we're trying to do is present information for us to look at, consider, and see if there might be a need to make some changes to some of the zoning lines. There may not be, but that'll be up for the next committee to make that decision.
And there's additional work to be done now to try and get the an accounting of all the lots that are involved, the lot sizes that are involved. You did a lot of it already, but we just have to go more, and then we'll determine the pathway that we need to go as far as our goals and everything. But one big thing that does come up is there's a ton of non-conforming uses in this particular area, and we saw some tonight that they do in there. So know, if we can avoid people having to come in and wholesale and have to spend thousands of dollars on a variance hearing just because they have a non-conforming lot,
right.
Then perhaps we can rejuvenate and replace a lot of these properties and upgrade our city in general. So that's the whole goal, is to better the city,
right.
To make it so that people can do it. So we got to think practical, like the folks do, and what's it going to do to us, and how's it going to do it, and how will people react? So it's got to be a functional program, and this occupies about half the city. So we're not talking a small area in the city either. So the hardest part is going to be is finding the time to do it. So we'll get the time, and we'll get it done, and. But we're gonna work it in between all our other duties. So with that, I'm pretty much that's pretty much where we are up to date. Roger, do you have anything you want to add?
Well, for example, the one case tonight with the adding the roof over the second floor deck in the R7 zone for an existing duplex that's been there for a long time. We got to find a way to not make them come here.
Right. I agree.
One of the issues we had, though, Roger, with that was that there was a move at one. There was a couple of people at one point that were trying to allow for the rejuvenation or the rehabilitation of duplexes. The board determined that most of the duplexes that were that people wanted to rehab were better off being torn down and replaced. They were junk, and we don't want junk units. We need to get rid of the obsolescence, which is our master plan, and replace them with better structures, newer structures, and up-to-date things. So, like anything, sometimes you try and you got to look at what what your ordinances do and what they actually promulgate. So from a wisdom standpoint, and it's paid off, it appears, because we've got so many of the duplexes torn down, and they're replacing, and they could replace them in the footprint. So it's not a punitive program.